This is KAYT-FM. 88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. K223BI. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. K255BT. 100.1 Lake Charles. K261EB. And KQJO-FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm preaching. Push five people and tell them, I got victory. Go ahead. I've got victory. You may be seated. On August 11th, 1969, Pastor O.C. Williams and his pretty wife, Dorothy, welcomed their fifth and final child to this world. They named her Victory Rose Vernon. I'm not sure if they were cognizant of the double entendre that her name represented. You know, this whole idea of double entendre, ambiguity, or something that can say the same thing but mean different things. This whole double entendre. I mean, they named her Victory. So when you say Victory or Vic, her whole family hears you calling her Victory. They simply hear you calling her name. So let me get this straight. Her parents, O.C. Williams and Dorothy, named her Victory, which in a very real sense put a target on her back because her name bespeaks something that the enemy hates. The enemy hates to see people walk in victory. So in a very real sense, they put a target on her back by naming her Victory because the devil's been hating her all of her life. So since her saved parents named her Victory and the enemy didn't want her to have victory, he attacked her in every area of her life to prevent her victory. But because that dumb devil didn't delete the double entendre that her name represents, because that dumb devil didn't delete the double entendre that her name represents with the duality of his definition, he didn't know that not only could he not have her because of her name, but he could not have her because of the victory that was in her. So that dumb devil forgot to delete the double entendre that her name represents, which has a duality of definition, because had he had any sense, he would have left her alone and tried to delete her before it was too late. But he forgot the double entendre, so he forgot that even if he attacked her, he couldn't kill the victory that was within her. You see, not only is Victory her name, double entendre, but victory, victory, victory. It is a sense of overcoming an enemy or antagonist. To overcome an enemy or antagonist. That's what victory means. It is success in a struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulties. Let me say that again. The overcoming of an enemy or antagonist. Also, it is a success or the struggle or an endeavor against all odds or difficulty. So succinctly and deductively, let's see this. Her name is Victory. The devil tried to kill her, but she overcame him because he is the enemy and the antagonist. She's been to hell and back. I watched her. I've been with her for nearly two decades. And listen, life happened before me. I don't act as though I'm the only thing that happened in her life. One of the things that many people do on days like this is either they enshrine you or demonize you. Demonized, like you've done nothing good. He was just a mess. Disrespected everybody. Good, he's gone. He had no good in him. Yes, he did. Everybody has some good in them. Or we enshrine you like you've never made any mistakes. And so to listen to all of us get up and laud her where she deserves, you think she's never made no mistakes. But I know my girl, and she'll be mad at me if I stand up here and paint her like an angel. She's had some trouble. She's made some mistakes. But because of her name and because of what was in her, she overcame every struggle that's been on her life. And don't y'all look at me like that, because there are no perfect people in this room, including my wife. And I don't want to get up here, because there's only one perfect man. His name is Jesus. So she's made some mistakes. She got on my nerves so bad one day I left the house and said I wasn't coming back. Problem is, I didn't know where to go. So I drove like 2 miles, like, I'm through with this. I couldn't figure out where to go. I said, well, I guess I'll go back home. Praise God. And I've been home ever since, so I know her issues, her frailties or idiosyncrasies. I know things she could be better in, but can I tell you what I like about her? Thank you, John Legend. I love her perfect imperfections. Even the stuff that's wrong with her is okay with me because she's made for me. I gotta go. I only got 14 minutes. I gotta let you go. I feel like between Mother Owens and Jennifer, you've heard so much about her. I just wanna do this to be obedient to my baby right quick. If I could just lift up this text for about 30 seconds, it won't be a long time. This particular Pauline text presents a bit of a preaching problem. You see, it's our leading lady's birthday, so really it's important to me to be practical. But this text is eschatological. I'm trying to hang out in practicality. Paul's discussing eschatology. I mean, how do you conflate the two? I mean, look what it says. Let's attempt to unearth this pregnant Pauline passage. Look what the text says. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised from incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Look at that eschatological rendering. If you've been here 2 minutes, you know eschatology means end times, future stuff. I'm trying to be practical. Paul is eschatological. How do you conflate the two? It's a preaching conundrum, but God's going to help me get out of it. Let me show you why. Because Paul says to us, in a moment, we shall all be changed. You do know these are not the final bodies that we will have. Paul says, in a moment, atomos, atomos, of which we get the American word what? Atom. Atom, not A-D-A-M, A-T-O-M, an atom bomb, an atom bomb. Why is that significant? Because you could not divide the time into, it will be quick. An atom, it means indivisible, so quick, before the blinking of an eye. Can I tell you, no matter what you're going through, God can just blink his eye. Before you can blink your eye, God can fix every situation. I know it's Lady Vernon's birthday, but it is Sunday morning. Let's lift up Jesus. Is there anybody here that knows God can fix every area of your life? And whatever you're going through, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all of you that have issues in your body with sickness or ailments or frailties, these bodies are not the last bodies. Flesh and blood shall not enter in. Let me speak to you and tell you, in a moment, in an atom, something indivisible, quicker than you can blink your eye, we shall be changed. I know this is old school, but I wish I had even some young people here that know this world is not my home. I'm just passing by. I don't care how good your life is right now. The scripture says we are pilgrims and strangers, aliens to this earth. Is there anybody that's glad that one day, no matter how you're feeling in your body, we shall be changed? In a moment, this corruptible, the scripture says, she'll put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Pastor, where you going? What you talking about, eschatology or practicality, Lady Vernon or Jesus? All of it. I can figure this out. Let me tell you what I mean. This is so cold-blooded. The Bible says this mortal shall put on immortality. These bodies are a trip. All people, one of the youngest churches in America, everybody under 35, I'll be right back. Everybody over 40. Look at somebody over 40 and point at them and say, stuff changing on you. Go ahead. No, they didn't say amen, but that's okay. You'd be surprised. It's enough dye in here, dye fried, dyed and laid to the side. It's enough girdles up in here. Your glasses get bigger. Your bras have to be stronger. Come and talk to me, women. Is there anybody that knows the older you get, these bodies start changing on you? Is there anybody? The old folk used to say, these old steps of mine keep getting shorter. I got to move to a better place. Don't you look at me like that. All of you that are 20, keep on living. If you get just a little bit older, you'll figure out these bodies are not the final bodies. They are a trip. Pastor, what this got to do with Lady Vernon? Is this eschatology or practicality? Is this eschatological or is it practical? It's both. Let me tell you why. Because that girl turned 48 and told me to tell it. Now, y'all pray for me because she's the finest 48-year-old thing I've ever seen in my life. I love it. Now, I know we're supposed to be getting old, but we got this Benjamin Button sex life. Y'all pray for us. It seems like we're going backwards. I feel like I'm 12 again. Y'all pray for me. The older we get, the better it gets. It's not going backwards. It's going forward. Put some Bible on it. Yes, I will. 1 Corinthians, Paul, the tent maker from Tarsus, says, though the inward man is perishing. I believe I'll preach on your birthday. The outward man, I wish I had, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day, which means the longer I stay with her, the sweeter it gets. Because I'm not just looking at the outward man, she got the Holy Ghost. And when you were saved, I'm sorry, let's have church. Have you ever seen somebody you graduated with and they look older than you? Raise your hand. Have you ever seen somebody your age and look 10 years older? Touch your neighbor and say, I'm old, but I'm still cute. Go ahead. Because God has put a glory on your life. I wish I had somebody over 40 that would jump up and sit back down and say, I'm not getting old, I'm getting better. God got his hand on my life, and when God... For this corruptible must put on incorruptible. We do not lose heart. We do not give up. For though the outward man is perishing, baby, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Oh, come on. I preach 300 times a year. Between all the services and campuses, I have no need to impress. This is not for television. This is for my baby. The older you get, the more I like you. I'm talking as a husband now in front of everybody. I thought we was kicking it in our 20s, but the 30s got more cold-blooded. And the 40s, it's crazy right now, ain't it? I want to leave with you right now in front of everybody. Praise God. I don't even care what they think. She got me whipped. She make me nay-nay. Ooh, victory, victory. Stop it. It's your birthday. The whole church is laughing at me on TV, too. She's the finest 48-year-old woman I've ever seen. Can I tell you something? All the ugly women go to other churches. All the pretty women come to the Word. It's not an ugly woman in here. I'm serious. All the ugly women got to be at other churches. And all the brothers say, y'all are fine as the day is long. I know some women here that are 28, 38, cool in the gang. I take my 48. I haven't seen a 28-year-old woman that I want over the one. Ain't no woman like the one I got. Y'all not having church with me. I take my almost 50 chick over every 25-year-old woman in here because she got me where she want me. She got my money, my mind, my babies, my house, my credit, my car. You can have anything. Turn me out as long as I live. I love her. Don't even flirt with me. I'll say your name on TV. You better not flirt with me. Praise God. I praise God for that girl. Can I suggest to all of you that it's so amazing. She is so beautiful. And I don't know whether to use amazing grace or baby face. Well, let me start with amazing grace, because not only am I preaching to her, come on, Pastor, you just can't preach to her. It's Sunday morning. You got to preach to everybody. Let's have church for 10 seconds. Is there anybody that thinks about the grace of God over your life? Okay, did y'all forget word church? Whenever I say grace at the word church, you cannot stay in your seat. Whenever I say grace, you got to push somebody. Whenever I say grace, you got to go walking around the church. Anybody here that has been to hell and back, but grace kept you. Grace saves your mind. Grace saves your marriage. Grace saves you from losing everything you got. I wish you push somebody and say, nothing but a G thing, baby. Go ahead. Tell them, grace brought me this far, and grace will lead me on. Is there anybody that's only here? I'm sorry. Push somebody and say, you are not all of that. Go ahead. Tell them, if it wasn't for God's grace, you would not be alive today in your right mind. Your legs wouldn't work. Your eyes couldn't see. Your ears couldn't hear. It's the Lord God. I'm trying not to have church. I got 6 minutes, Dr. Fresh. I'm gone. Okay, I tried amazing grace, but I got some hood people here. So if you can't feel amazing grace, I brought baby face. And baby, I come to tell you, as we celebrate 20 years in February with your 48-year-old self, I brought amazing grace and baby face. Amazing grace is what gave you to me. Amazing grace is why you still love me. Amazing grace is why you put up with me. So I brought baby face to go with your amazing grace. And baby face told me to say, every time I close my eyes, I thank the Lord that I've got you, and you've got me too. I'm marrying you again for the fourth time in February 14th, and I want you to walk down to Babyface Amazing Grace. Every time I close my eyes, I thank the Lord that I've got you. Every time I think of it, I pinch myself because I don't believe it's true that someone like you loved me too. Woo! Oh, I got 5 minutes, short sermon. I can do this in 20 minutes. And let's go have a Jay-Z party at the house, baby. I got to go. Watch this. And we're going to dance to that tonight, too, by the way. When that come on, find me. Here it is. Let's have church. This is not a regular sermon. One time in 20 years, I'm preaching about the First Lady. Y'all thank God for it right quick. Come on. I promise you, I love her. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 15:57, the circumference of our text, and I'm in my seat. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't I tell y'all about 15 minutes ago that that dumb devil didn't delete the double entendre that her name represents and the duality of his definition? That dumb devil did not delete the duality, y'all not having church with me, of the double entendre. In other words, thanks be to God who gave me victory. We know Paul is not talking about victory, Vernon. Paul is talking about victory in Jesus Christ. But I reserve the right to modernize, vernonize, and contemporize this pregnant text exegetically just for the purpose of this preaching and to tell you that I got double victory. I got victory. Okay, y'all not having church with me. I got victory inside of me. Let's have church. But then on top of that, I go to bed with victory. Then I wake up with victory because victory is inside of me. But then I wake up with victory because victory is laying next to me. I got victory in me. Watch this. Then I had the nerve to have a baby named Victory, so I birthed Victory. So I got victory under me. Victory came out of me. Victory lived in me. Victory sleep with me. Slap somebody and say, Pastor got the victory for real. He got the victory. I got the victory. I know y'all got the victory, but I really got the victory. Can I tell you what the devil hates about me and victory? Well, number one, I got the victory before I met victory. But then I met victory who had victory. But because we're together, I got victory. We walk in victory. We got together, had sex, and made victory. Now we got victory in the bed, victory out the bed, victory under us, victory all around us. We got victory. She don't know what to do. Victory is mine. Victory lives in me. Let me give you a few things Paul said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. And in my last 2 minutes and 45 seconds, I just want to tell you a few things about victory that I love. First of all, I got the victory literally, pragmatically, relationally, and emotionally. I got the victory literally. I literally have the victory. Her ring is on my finger. Relationally, she is my girl. Pragmatically, it's real. Emotionally, I love her harder than I love myself. I love her harder than any human being on earth. I love her hard. She's the only person that can hurt me like she can. You see, you have to love somebody to be hurt by them. If I don't love you, what you say is irrelevant. Only people that can hurt you is people that you care about. She, don't ever forget this, husbands. Your wife can both crucify and resurrect you. She's the only person that can crucify and resurrect you. There's such a deep, abiding love, even her imperfections. And I say this from my heart. I just want to give you a few things that I love about victory. Number one, and those of you that grew up with her and know her as Vic or went to our first church or really have been around her when she's chilling, I love her laugh. And it's the loudest, stupidest laugh in the world. When I first married her, I hated it. I'm like, it's just this loud, like, it could be 100 people. I know, oh, God. But now the older I get, what would I do if I didn't hear that laugh? I love her laugh. But not only do I love her laugh, I love her loyalty. She is loyal to me. It never crosses my mind that she's dealing with some other brother. It never crosses my mind that she might abandon me and my babies. When the kids come home, I want to punch them in the face. Daddy, these young boys was looking at mommy's body. I'm like, they ain't got enough. Y'all just missed that. I wished I had a witness up in here. I said, no, I got that. I got that. They ain't got enough of nothing. They ain't got enough of nothing. They ain't got enough of nothing. My girl don't play that, and I don't play that. She is loyal. But not only is she loyal to me, she is loyal to her family, her children, her extended family, nieces, nephews, sisters, brothers, my family. When she loves you, she loves you. She is loyal. She won't let you go. And then finally, I love her love. I love her love, her laugh, her loyalty. I'll preach next time you see me. I come to talk about my baby today. I'm preaching at her request. I love her love. I ain't got time. If you say I love her love to someone from Greece, they laugh at you and say, come on, unpack that. It's only in America that we flippantly throw the word love. That's why I tell you single girls, I want to bust that guy in the head. I love you. You should be like, unpack that. I got time. Yeah, give me the 7 definitions of love in the Greek, and then I'll give you my number. Y'all just missed that, praise God, because number one, I love the agape. She has the love of God in her. When women like another woman, she got something going on. I wish I had a real woman that know women can be catty and picky and distrusting and issues with their mama, issues with their man, and women just don't take to another woman too quick. When you see women of all ages, colors, creeds, and classes just coming up to her, sharing their deepest vulnerabilities and secret, that's because they feel God on her. Every young single brother, you better get you a girl that loves Jesus. Yeah, I know she's sexy, but can she pray? Please don't let the smooth taste fool you, Word Church. You have no idea that at my most vulnerable place, somebody's intelligent enough to know with 4 campuses and thousands of people and pastors and first ladies that lean on us, 5 kids of my own, my business stuff I'm doing, all the pressure that comes with being me, haters, and what do you do when you can't Google yourself? I haven't Googled myself in 5 years. If you read the 90% good stuff, you got to read the 2% bad. And psychologists suggest that 1 negative comment overrides 100 good ones. So the level of ministry I do, sometimes the weight of glory and haters and everything. And what I want every single brother here to know, I'm not making this up, she's sitting there. Sometimes I'll feel her hand slide across the cover and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, keep his mind, keep his spirit. Lord, I lift up my husband right now. Don't get somebody sexy who can't pray. To all single people, get you somebody that loves him more than they love you. You're gonna hate if you don't. But then there is her phileo, her deep friendship. If she's ever been your friend, she's still your friend. And anybody who's not her friend is because they couldn't handle where God took her, not because she didn't want to friend them. I love everything about her friendship. If she's a friend, she's a friend. And then I love her eros, of which we get the word erotic. That's all I have to say about that. And then, I'll tell her that later. And then her pragma, that's long-standing love. Long-standing love between a husband and a wife. Her pragma, it is the mature love. All people 20 who just met somebody 6 months ago, we in love, shut up. Yeah, go on and get sick first. Go on and lose something first. Go on and fall out and fall back in. I'm not talking about this quick love. This is why many of you not staying married, because as soon as it don't feel good no more, soon as he not as sexy or doesn't make the money you thought, or she loses her shape or picks up some weight from stretch marks and babies, you're done. It's not what I thought, but that's not what we're rolling with. We're rolling with something deeper than that. If she loses everything, her consciousness, her ability to move, I will sit next to the bed for the next 40 years and go without sex, because as long as she lives, my love is deeper than what she can give me. Love gives, lust takes. Be careful when you want more than you're willing to give out. Love gives, lust takes. Oh, I'm out of time. I gotta go. Thank you, baby. She She loves Jesus so much. Guess what she said to me? Make sure you call all my spiritual daughters who are preaching. Call all of my sons and tell them, I know they're going to preach about me, but tell them, don't just preach about me. Make sure they preach about Jesus more than they preach about me. That's what she told me. So, baby, in obedience to your wishes, I'm going to close with the other kind of victory, because the first one was relational and personal and pragmatic, but the last one is spiritual. It is spiritual, biblical, and theological, because when Paul said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. I got to go in the last 2 minutes. I'm over time. I won't even be 30 minutes a day if y'all work with me. In the last 2 minutes, if God, watch this, has given you victory, not just the one to my right, but the one that sits up in glory. Watch this. You didn't come to church in 80 degrees of weather on the last good weather Sunday probably of the year. You came because God has been well to you. If God has given you the victory, I'm sorry, for the second or third time, a person somebody around you, say, for real though, I got the victory. Go ahead. Some of y'all still sitting there, I'm gonna let you go. Paul said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Now, when I call out this list, if God has done nothing for you, then please stay in your seat. But when I call you, please feel free to jump up. Victory over sin and shame. Victory over my past. Victory over lust and dummies. Victory over every demonic vice and influence. Victory over generational curses. Victory over the poverty mentality. Victory over thoughts of suicide and depression. Victory over principalities and spirits. Victory over every bad thought. Victory over negative influence. Victory over generational curses. Victory over the stuff of my past. If God has given you the victory, I wish I had five people up in here that would shake somebody's hand like you're going to shake it off and tell them, I'm not perfect, but I got victory. Go ahead. Y'all not having church. I got victory. Then Paul says, therefore, be steadfast. I got to go. Unmovable. Watch this. Always abounding in the work of, as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I wished I had somebody that would help me preach to my wife and your first lady and point your finger at her and say, first lady, be steadfast. Go ahead. Unmovable. Go ahead, prophesy. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Baby, I got a word for you. Your labor is not in vain. Every time you stood there and hugged when your foot hurted, every time your armor bearers had to put your shoe on because you had no strength left in your body, everybody that we kissed and they dogged us, everybody we helped and they not here no more, everybody that hated on us and we went to bed with our side hurting and our mind hurting, but you showed up the next week and hugged knowing they was talking about me, talking about you. God told me to tell you, your labor is not in vain in the Lord, because everything you did for God, serving God, will pay off. And now 10,000 people have come to tell you that your labor, it's not in vain. With the exception of Jesus Christ, I don't see no cameras, I don't see no crowd. I see you. You are the best thing that ever happened to me. It's me and you against the world. Jennifer knows this. I put this in my book, and I'm coming out shameless plug with my remake of 10 Rules of Dating in the Social Media Age. I'm calling this one 10 Rules of Dating in the Social Media Age. But in my first book, I had a section called Ride or Die. And I'll never forget, I went and got my motorcycle license, and we ain't rode them motorcycles yet. Praise God. I guess it was a pre-midlife crisis. We ain't rode them yet. And I go get my motorcycle license. And I come home, I'm pumped. I now have a regular license with a little sticker on it that says I can ride motorcycles too. I'm all pumped. Next day, you text me a picture of your license. Just because I had mine, you went and got yours too. Because you a ride or die chick. She was like, you ain't riding without me. Mm-hmm. Who gonna be on the back of that motorcycle?